So another question arises, and this brings us to the fourth and last part of our lecture. How can integrated awareness be developed? Well, first of all, in order to develop integrated awareness, we have to understand, at least theoretically, what has happened. We have to understand, at least theoretically, the distinction between alienated awareness on the one hand and integrated awareness on the other. We have to retrace our steps, have to undo the harm that we've done or that has been done to us. We have to allow ourselves to experience ourselves. If we've once taken that wrong turning, if alienated awareness has really developed to any serious degree, then we have to go back to square one, as it were, and we have to learn, we have to allow ourselves to experience ourselves. We have to experience our own body, have to experience our own repressed feelings and emotions, have to learn to think, to insist on thinking, our own thoughts. And this will not be easy, especially for those who are comparatively advanced in life, because some feelings are very, very deeply buried and therefore very difficult to recover. And we may even need expert, that is to say, professional help in the matter. We may even have sometimes to act out our feelings, not only to feel them, not only to experience them, but express them externally, even sometimes the negative ones. This does not mean that we should indulge them, but it means that, as it were, slowly and mindfully, with awareness, we start letting them out and allowing ourselves to experience them while remaining conscious of them, aware of them, while we are actually experiencing them. Then if we do this, and other things as well, of the same nature, then we shall begin all over again to experience ourselves, begin to experience our own physical body, experience our own feelings, our own emotions, experience our own thoughts. In a word, as I've said, experience ourselves, experience the whole of ourselves, ourselves in our totality, the so-called good and the so-called bad, the so-called high and the so-called low, the so-called noble and the so-called ignoble. Experience it all as one living whole, which is ourself. And when we've done this, when we really experience ourselves in this way, fully and vividly, then we can begin to practice mindfulness. Because then, when we practice mindfulness in this way, at this stage, it will be the real thing. It'll be integrated, it'll be integral awareness and not alienated awareness. And incidentally, I may add here that the communication exercises that I've already mentioned and that we'll be having the weekend after this one, the communication exercises are very useful in this connection, because one of the things that they do is to enable us to experience repressed feelings of all kinds, positive and negative, especially feelings directed towards other people. Now, I hope that I've done, at least to some extent, what I set out to do in this lecture. I hope that the nature of the distinction between alienated awareness and integrated awareness has become, in some measure, clear. I hope it's clear how alienated awareness arises, also how integrated awareness can be developed. The whole subject is of very great practical importance indeed. As I've said, as in fact I've insisted, awareness is the growing point of the higher evolution of man, the higher evolution of the individual. But it's only the right kind of awareness, only integrated awareness, that constitutes this growing point, not the alienated awareness. So if we develop this, if we develop this integrated awareness, awareness, mindfulness in the true sense, and if we continue to develop it on ever higher and higher levels, along with our experience on ever higher and higher levels, then we may say that the higher evolution, so far as we individually are concerned, is assured.